It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this, the 25th day of August 2022, a Thursday, a thorn in the side Thursday. This program is live, and of course, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all times in between, and the great globe round. And if you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Squeaky and Roger in Oregon and New Jersey Nick, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has declined to fold space to become man cave. And had, I'm informed, a lovely visit with Billable Rick just yesterday evening as Billable makes his way up toward the greater Seattle area and goes to help his son get all moved in and settled down to begin his career up there in the greater Puget Sound area. Keep driving safely, Billable. Hi. I'm Robin, and every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different, and so consequently, we say thank you to our 25th day of the month subscribers, and, well, what that means is that we say thank you to Peter, and we say thank you to Mark, and we say thank you to Mark. Members of the fraternity of Mark. And those are our subscribers for the 25th day of the month. And by the way, a reminder, courtesy of our pal Zed in Iwija, we have a challenge on the table. It would be great to see someone participate and take advantage of it and become a monthly subscriber to the tune of less than a half a stick of chewing gum per day. That means $10 a month. And if you do that, five people can get their subscriptions doubled in the first month, courtesy of our pal Zed. Thank you, Zed, and thank you. All you got to do is press the PayPal button, or you can go to Patreon. Either one, they both count. And that would go a long way this evening toward helping to bring down the fundraising deficit. So it stands at $1,600. That means that, today, yesterday, Tuesday, and Monday, and last Friday, are unfunded. We're not quite funded up to the middle of the month yet. But thank you so much for getting us as close as you have. We've just got a couple of more scary ones to deal with, and then we can get started on September. Oh Jesus, it's like a hamster on a treadmill sometimes. But thank you. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for keeping independent, progressive, liberal broadcasting afloat for lo these many years. And don't think I don't know that everything, it all represents a sacrifice of one type or another. And there is, according to Ralphs tells me, a thorny $20 challenge awaiting. And so the first $20 that comes in gets doubled, courtesy of Ralphs, for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Yeah, it's been an interesting Thursday here in the hills and hollers of almost level west by cold Manchinistan. We get to learn all these interesting new words in Appalachia all the time. Spent some time sitting in traffic today, and that's kind of an odd thing for me around here. We don't really have traffic jams that often. But this one's been a doozy. It started sometime between 11:30 last night and 12:30 this morning. And it started out on Interstate 77 south of Beckley, along about the crossing of Skidder Creek, because we have a Skidder Creek, and maybe it's Skeeter Creek. But the bottom line is we got to learn about a brand new chemical that probably we shouldn't be around or shouldn't have contact with. Something called, and the chemistry folks might know a little bit about this or be able to tell me a little bit more about this. It's a chemical called alkyl dimethylamine. And there's some ciphering involved, because when this tractor trailer turned over and spilled 12 totes, apparently totes is a term of art, sort of a nasty-ass chain reaction started, because, you know, you just want to be able to haul that stuff anywhere you want. You wouldn't want any of those job-killing regulations now, would you? Let's see, 12 totes, and of the 12 totes, there were a tote equals, apparently, 275 gallons. So 275 x 12 equal 3,300 gallons of alkyl dimethylamine, which is apparently nasty, 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 and has caused traffic snarls here in the largely snarl-free area of where I live all day long. Just couldn't move. Couldn't go anywhere. And basically what it boils down to is this stuff is really dangerous. It's a cleaning agent. Reminds me of the Freedom disaster some years back. What was it, 2014? No sooner had the methyl cyclohexane methanol been spilled, you know, into the water supply of 9 West Virginia counties, and the West Virginia Coal Association was out there tweeting, "If it's good enough to clean coal, it's good enough to clean me." Countless thousands were sickened and remain, you know, based on the lack of data about what human exposure to this stuff, or what this stuff does when exposed to humans. You know, there's an ongoing, lifelong, involuntary study of what it's going to mean for people down the road. Little bitty babies who might find out when they're 30 years old or 30 years old, who might find out when they're 60, that sort of thing. Apparently, you're not supposed to get anywhere near this. And, of course, it went into this alkyl dimethylamine, dumped into Skeeter Creek. And Skeeter Creek empties into Paint Creek. And a friend of mine who lives on Paint Creek told me that apparently, as the stuff goes down Paint Creek, fish die immediately. I mean, they don't get sick and, you know, kind of malinger about it. No, they just die. And, well, let's put it this way. Both lanes of I-77 are shut down, and this is a major north-south corridor. And that means everybody going north or west had to detour onto U.S. 19. And those of you who came to the Horn End know that that's, you know, the artery that runs through the greater Fayetteville Co-Prosperity Metroplex zone. Hi, Jessica. And so it's just been wall-to-wall tractor trailers all day, because they have to go all the way to Summersville, past Summersville, or maybe loop onto some of the little teeny-tiny roads that they really ought not be on, and get down to Charleston. Actually, they take 19 past Summersville and get on I-79 at, exit 57, which means 57 miles north of Charleston, and then on their merry way. And then the southbound and eastbound is equally screwed up. Because freedom! Right? Freedom! Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, dude driving the truck has been identified. And although the truck caught fire and burned to a cinder, Dennis Eugene West of Monk's Corner, South Carolina, survived the accident that he caused, because apparently God looks out for fools, babies, and drunks. And he, even well after the wreck, he blew a .128, which is, you know, not great. So just to recap, hauling a load of deadly chemicals, decides to have a few and get on the road and drive through the night, and, well, poor little fish. And there's a general don't get anywhere near the water order for the humans, too. And so we learn about alkyl, what did I say? Alkyl dimethylamine, a cleaning agent. Wonder for cleaning what? Oh, who knows? And on this Thorn in the Side Thursday, a note to begin things from Ron and Raleigh. Bar Said, a short while ago, Ron notes, and I mentioned this a couple of nights ago, Bar Said set up a trust to transfer $1.9 billion to a new fund set up by Leonard Leo. Yeah, Kim in New York mentioned this to me as well. By setting up this trust, Mr. Said avoided $400 million in state and federal taxes. He could possibly be Brett Kavanaugh's benefactor who paid off all of his debts. Since no one cares, I guess we'll never know. What we do know is that Leonard Leo will put this huge windfall to use, undermining the rights and freedoms of the American people by packing the federal judiciary with Federalist Society bootlickers, and, well, I like to think of them as jurisprudential hacks, and supporting jurisprudential chop shops, and, what comes next? Well, what did Clarence Thomas say he wanted? He wanted the overturning of Griswold versus Connecticut. He wanted the overturning of Obergefell versus Hodges. He wanted the overturning of Lawrence versus Texas. He wants Bostock overturned. Basically, everything but Loving versus Virginia, which protects his marriage to his seditious spouse, Ginny. You can drag a lot of $100 bills through a lot of trailer parks when you've got $1.6 or $1.9 billion to do it with. And, of course, Brett Kavanaugh. None of these Republicans throwing a conniption about a wee tiny little dribble of student loan forgiveness. None of the right-wingers who are pitching a fit about that have somehow managed to not get around to mentioning Brat, whose baseball ticket thousands upon tens of thousands of dollars debts, and you know, his hot dog and beer budget at the ballpark for the Nationals, who are in the cellar, by the way. I don't know if Brat's been to the ball game this year. And then the home mortgage and that nice little pile of bricks that he lives in Montgomery County, Maryland. Okay, well, thank you for the help there, Ron. Barreseid. It is pronounced Barry Side. Okay. Interesting spelling and pronunciation there. But, you know, we'll never know who took care of or provided. I mentioned the term last night. Or yesterday afternoon. We'll never know who provided the jubilee for Brat, but Leonard Leo is not a bad guess. And dear God, the hell he's going to raise with those billions. He can pour it into 2022. He can pour it into 2024. Probably pour some into 2026 if he feels like he needs to at that point. There might not even be a United States in 2026, or at least not as we know it, especially if people who want a better country stay the hell home. And by better country, I mean things like more debt forgiveness, more student loan forgiveness. Right? Yeah. Oh, well. Sure. Wow, I'm off and running as a little ray of sunshine today, aren't I? Sure am. Well, let's see. What else? One of those people, of course, carping and pissing and moaning about student loan debt forgiveness is, of course, the Buckeye State's own Jim Jacketoff Jordan. Stephen New York says regarding forgiving debts, odd, they seem to have no problem making me subsidize their mortgages, their charitable giving, their churches, their God Emperor's bankruptcies, etc. No, they don't mind doing an entire basic full-on fire sale raid on the public commons because it's commonly known to belong to them, right? Sure. So, among other things, the Lincoln Project, who does a very good job of staying on top of nasty-ass Republicans, said to And them being former Republicans themselves. Interesting, no presidential campaign from any election cycle owes creditors more money than former GOP House Speaker Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist. He and Callista. And there's, of course, an absolute flurry of whataboutism going on. What about the people who already paid off their student loan debts? Dan Ripple, for instance, who went to the same law school as Jim Jacketoff Jordan, said, hey there, we graduated from the same law school. Met at an oversight hearing Brad Smith testified at a couple of years ago. I finished paying my loans off shortly after that hearing. It was hard to carry that burden, but I'm glad to lighten the load for others. It took me about 12 years to pay off about $70,000 in student loans, and I've spent almost exactly $70,000 in the last 2 years on daycare. I've had two kids, and I'm done would have gone for at least three, maybe four, if not for those loans. They should pitch loan forgiveness as pro-life. Ow. These, they're just really not very good at any of this, are they? Interesting little obituary today. Don't know that there's any meaning to it or anything like that, but one of Jeffrey Epstein's pals, has been found all dead and stuff. According to the Daily Mail, up in Derby, Connecticut, Steve Hoffenberg, who used to own the New York Post in the early 90s and palled around with Jeffrey Epstein, was found dead in his apartment there. And is it Derby or Darby? I'm sure I'm going to get it wrong. D-E-R-B-Y, but, you know. Hoffenberg was found on the floor of his bedroom by Maria Farmer, who was one of Epstein's victims. She'd called police to check on him. And the police said there were no visible signs of injury to his body. He had done 18 years in the joint, Hoffenberg had, after he was found guilty for running a Ponzi scheme that he said that Jeffrey Epstein created. Went on to sue Jeffrey Epstein, and in 2020 showed up in a Netflix documentary called Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich. Give the guy a little credit where credit's due. He tried to repay his victims in the years after the Ponzi scheme and called a lot of them from prison. And I checked in with the Department of Obituaries and got the message back. He did. Frank, out in Iowa, said, the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive the debts of others, or something like that. It's right there in the New Testament. Yeah, that's another part. That's part of the, you know, the Bible that the maggots don't read. It's kind of inconvenient, if you know what I mean. There was a trial in Florida. And a verdict has been issued. Interesting. The trial of 29-year-old Jordan Patrick Leahy. Federal jury in Tampa found him guilty of a racially motivated attack against an African-American man who was traveling with family. This particular nasty, and he is a nasty one, Jordan Patrick Leahy tried to run the victim, identified as JT, off the road, all the while screaming racist slurs, and there's really no imagination to that. We know what, yeah. So when they came up to a red light, Leahy got out of his car, came back to JT's car, started yelling more slurs, and then punched the man in the chest, at which point the victim, JT, overpowered him and put him in a submission hold. Pinellas County Sheriff's deputies finally arrived, at which point Jordan Patrick Leahy gave them the stiff-arm Nazi salute and said he just wanted to fight a quote-unquote, according to the report, colored person. And went on to say that black people needed to be kept in their areas. He was feeling kind of chatty, like he was, with the local establishment. Said he wanted to shoot 60 to 70 people in the face and then kill himself by shooting himself in the neck, and said it would be the most fulfilling thing I could experience in life. Well, he's going to have to go for a lesser degree of fulfillment because he's going to do 10 years in the custody of the Bureau of Prisons, Federal Bureau of Prisons. And then he'll be looking at up to $250,000 in fines and 3 years of supervised release afterward. So, good for the DOJ for bringing this case. Every now and then, you know, they actually put one in the win column. Staying in Florida, how about this? The Miami New Times had a story yesterday about a Proud Boy. A Proud Boy who, I guess, has a civic streak. Yeah. A Twitter account called Miami Against Fascism, @MIA Against Fash, FASH, published a photo showing a dude thought to be Noel Salguero, who was working as an election worker on primary day in Florida, Tuesday. An image shows him, according to the Miami New Times, an image shows him sporting a polling sticker on his plaid button-up shirt with his first name and the word clerk scribbled in black Sharpie, posing next to a box labeled Official Elections Material. And then, lo and behold, there was Moms for Liberty. Sit, Liberty, sit. Woo! And they were all proud of this proud boy, Moms for Liberty, posting on Instagram, "So proud of my brother from another mother who's managing one of the voting locations, assuring there is election integrity. Let's go!" So, turns out that Miami-Dade County knew all about Salguero's ties to the Proud Boys. But a woman named Susie Trudy, no, really, who's the elections deputy supervisor, said, "So what? A poll worker has to be respectful of all voters, remaining nonpartisan while at the polls, being able to read and write the English language, and being a registered or pre-registered voter in Miami-Dade County. Polling clerks are tasked with supervising the election board, completing required paperwork before the polls open and after they close, and reporting specified supplies to the collection center after the polls close. All poll workers attest to remain unbiased, nonpartisan, respectful, and professional while performing assigned election duties. Miami-Dade County does not discriminate on the basis of race, gender, orientation, age, disability, religious, or political beliefs, or treason." I added the "or treason" part. Y'all, they're going to do it again. They are. Yeah, by the way, Ron and Raleigh says, "Paid my loans off a while ago. Fuck all these self-centered sons of bitches. They have no problem scarfing up my tax dollars to pay for their segregation academies and their religious schools. I hope those new IRS agents check on their tax-exempt status." Seems like kind of a lovely notion to me, Ron. Jordan Patrick Leahy is no relation to Senator Patrick Leahy. I'm pretty sure, Ralphs, at least I hope so. Mm. Leahy's kind of a common name, and so is Patrick. Florida man, Stephen New York, says, just goes to remind us to always stay away with people using, from black people using, people using. Oh, I just screwed that one up all over. It just goes to remind us to always stay away from people using black Sharpies. There. All better now. Sorry. I don't know. I said, y'all, they're going to do it again. And Randy Radar said, and they're going to fail again. Given what's coming up with the Supreme Court in the next term, I wouldn't be so eager to place that bet.
Independent state legislatures.
Remember the term. It's going to become important. Meanwhile, Darlene in Connecticut pointing out, Mitch McConnell complaining about the Biden school loan forgiveness, which doesn't cover private loans, is so rich. Oh, wait, hang on, hold the horses, hit the brakes, let's pause for a moment. Mitch is a rich bitch. Well, of course he doesn't want anyone to get a financial break. That might affect the $38 million, not counting Elaine's fortune he amassed as a senator, ensuring nothing benefits the people of Kentucky and that blue states like mine foot all the bills. All right. It won't affect his fortune one iota. Hey, Mitch, in case you didn't know, you can't take it with you. Here's hoping there's a special place in hell for you. Yep. As I said a million years ago, some of these folks just have the damnedest time figuring out that there's a reason that they don't you don't see hearses in funerals pulling U-Hauls. Oh, let's leave Florida. Let's go to Texas instead. In fact, let's talk about those dear, dear, dear maggots and other Republicans. And you have to say it that way because, well, not all Republicans are maggots. And there are people who are not maggots, who are Republicans, who are terribly, terribly, terribly worried about pedophilia, child prostitution, child sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you about it. All you got to do is ask. You know, there's an anti-abortion advocacy group called Texas Right to Life. And they, oh mercy sakes, they spend so much time getting all worked up about the precious little fetuses. Oh mercy. Mm-hmm. Texas Right to Life. Goodness gracious. They got to stop all the abortions. The Holocaust, they've been known to call it, of abortions in America. Because they recognize that children are precious. They are the most precious thing in the world, especially American children. White American, white male American children, white male wealthy Republican American children, precious, just precious, I'm telling you. And at one point in time, a guy named Luke Bowen, B-O-W-E-N, Luke Bowen was the political director for Texas Right to Life. And nobody loved the little children's more than Luke Bowen. And Luke Bowen, well, he was eager to prove his love for little children. Montgomery County, Texas. The Internet Crime Against Children group recently snared up Luke Bowen in a sting. And now Luke Bowen is facing a second-degree felony that carries a 2 to 20-year sentence. Lock him up. Lock him up. Lock him up. And up to $10,000 in fines. He's walking the streets on a $50,000 bond now. He has entered a not guilty plea. And see, I said he was the former political director of Texas Right to Life. Well, he only became the former political director of Texas Right to Life on August the 3rd, which coincidentally is the same day that he was charged with trying to set up an, well, a rendezvous with a child to fuck. Yeah. Now, no children were harmed in this situation. The child that Luke Bowen was trying to fuck was, in fact, entirely imaginary. Luke Bowen has already lawyered up. He has a pettifogger by the name of E. Tay Bond. One wonders what the E stands for.
E.
And E. Tay Bond said, "This investigation revolves around a fictitious alleged minor created by law enforcement and posted on the internet. There's not a real victim in the case." I don't know, maybe E. Tay Bond is actually a woman. Maybe it stands for Edna or Eunice. May have been the entirely wrong voice for that. The thing is, the child may have been fictitious, but the intent of Texas Right to Life political director Luke Bowen was not. Feminist activist Jessica Valenti heard about the news and wrote, "Texas Right to Life is arguably the most influential anti-abortion group in the state. In addition to lobbying and spending millions doing so, the organization also endorses extremist candidates and raises money for them. The organization's biggest donor is billionaire Ferris Wilkes, responsible for bankrolling the far-right shift in Texas." Well, the story came out of the Courier of Montgomery County, Texas. And the Courier provides the charging documents. And Assistant District Attorney Kelly Blackburn said that it's a standard operation by the Internet Crimes Against Children Division. And the only thing that Texas Right to Life had to say is, "No, we fired him. We ain't going to give you no details." I'm guessing here. That there won't be any media coverage from, say, Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or that Steve Bannon outfit, or any of those creepy bastards of this case.
But he loves the little fetuses.
I bet he does. Yeah. How about that? Isn't that disgusting? Aren't they disgusting? Would you, honestly, would you trust a maggot or a right to life or around a small child. Any child. Because, well, I wouldn't. Interesting story. Coming out of Granbury, Texas. Staying with Texas. The Granbury, Texas Independent School District has been on a book banning frenzy because of outfits like Moms for Liberty and, for all I know, Texas Right to Life, demanding that books be reviewed to make sure that they don't have no questionable content that might give little white children a sad. No critical race theory! The superintendent of the Granbury, Texas School District is one Jeremy Glenn. And he's been most zealous in making sure that librarians in the school district know that he's watching. Among other things, Glenn has told the librarians that this is a very, very conservative school district, and if you don't have conservative beliefs, you better hide it. Why do all my Texas dudes sound a little bit like Hank Hill? And he said, I'm going to take a step further with you. There are two genders. There's male and there's female. And I acknowledge that there are men that think they're women, and there are women that think they're men. And again, I don't have any issues with what people want to believe, but there's no place for it in our libraries. This was all recorded. That's the transgender LGBTQ and the sexuality in books. That's what the governor has said that he will prosecute people for, and that's what we're pulling out. The goddess of irony was there to make sure they used the phrase pulling out. They then yanked 130 books and permanently banned three of them. One of the books was called This Book is Gay. It was a book for LGBTQ teens. Another book that was banned was called We Are the Ants, and it was a story about a gay teenager. And he's kind of a proselytizing school superintendent. Back in 2014, he wrote a book called Daily Devotionals for Superintendents. And I don't know how it falls under the rubric of a devotional, but he said states that ban conversion therapy, otherwise known as torture, were bad. And equated letting children learn about LGBTQ issues was indoctrination the same way Adolf Hitler indoctrinated youth when he took over Germany. And so, questioned about all this, he said, in Granbury and across Texas, we are seeing parents push back and demand elected officials put safeguards in place to protect their children from Luke Bowen. No, he didn't say that. From materials that serve no academic purpose, but rather push a political narrative. What do you want to bet Rush Revere is somewhere in a Granbury, Texas library? Any takers? Or maybe, Bill O'Reilly's Killing Lincoln.
As a result, classrooms and libraries have turned schools into battlegrounds for partisan politics.
Now, the kids, the LGBTQ kids in the Granbury District, know exactly what's going on. Lou Whiting, non-binary Granbury High School junior, said, I don't feel incredibly safe or welcome by a large majority of the students at my school. I've been called slurs. I've been verbally attacked. I've been physically attacked. But it kind of feels worse when the attacks are coming from adults and the people who are supposed to keep us safe. Bless the kids' hearts. Kennedy Tackett is a high school senior, a bisexual kid. And she put together a petition to put the books back. And along with some other students that she organized, they went to the school board and raised hell. And went on to say that they would keep, after they heard from the kids, the school board changed the rules so that once a book was under review, it didn't go back on the shelf. And it could just stay under review kind of forever, because we can't have the children reading books. Meanwhile, the superintendent continued, let's not misrepresent things. We're not taking Shakespeare or Hemingway off the shelves. You might want to rethink both of those, dude. We're not going and grabbing every socially, culturally, or religious diverse book and pulling them. That's absurd. And the people that are saying that are gaslighters, and it's designed to incite division. Well, the young student then namely Lou Whiting printed up and sold t-shirts that said Radical Gaslighter and gave $2,000 to the American Library Association's Freedom to Read Foundation. Stories like this sort of background the fact that Texas has gone full-on fascist. They're not kidding around anymore. Just because they don't have the black uniforms and the boots and the death's head caps doesn't mean they aren't fascist. It's straight-up fascism. And interestingly, remember the clip of Kali Maganini throwing a conniption over the fact that the Bible got itself put under review? Well, the Bible went, they made a point, oh, it's going right back on the shelf. We just wanted to make sure that part about Lot's daughters fucking their daddy was still in there. Well, all of this is background of sorts. Enter enter a mom. A powerful mom. Adrienne Quinn Martin. She's fierce. And she's not afraid of the likes of Jeremy Glenn. She came to the podium at the Granbury School District meeting. She looked Jeremy Glenn straight in his beady little eyes. And she said, we know that books are continuing to be purged. We know student library aides have been banned. We know that a group of non-parents have pushed for these removals and continue to do so. So, being a taxpayer does not grant special privileges over students, staff, and parents. I do not want random people with no education background, ouch, or experience, ouch, determining what books my child can read, what curriculum they can learn, and what clubs they can join. Just because you can get up at every meeting and rant and rave does not give you authority over my child's education. Ms. Martin was pissed. You know what? Let's enjoy this. Let's just enjoy this as she spoke the words.
We know that books are continuing to be purged. We know student library.
Of course.
Banned. We know a group of non-parents have pushed for these book removals and continue to do so. Being a taxpayer does not grant special privileges over students, staff, and parents. I do not want random people with no education background or experience determining what books my child can read, what curriculum they learn, and what clubs they can join. Just because you can get up at every meeting and rant and rave does not give you authority over my child's education. Your personal religious beliefs, people in this room and on this board, should not be affecting my child's education either. Our schools are not to be used for personal political agendas, and our children are here for education, not religious indoctrination. I implore the board to put an end to trying to appease these extremists, focus on retaining staff, providing excellent public education, and a safe and welcoming learning space for all students. The speaker speaking about what great Christians they are, great. Go tell your pastor. Our schools are not your church. Thank you. Thank you,
Ms. The applause was kind of uplifting, wasn't it? Well, there's a reason Ms. Martin spoke out, and it has to and the freaks that she was talking about. Well, this is them.
Because of the delay of this book issue, the progressives have grabbed the power in our high school.
Power.
Each of you personally allowed them access to simply walk in the front door.
The front door.
They are now hurting confused children. And that
I wonder if the progressives are hurting confused children. And did she say hurting, H-U-R-T-I-N-G, or H-E-R-D-I-N-G? I don't know. Sometimes Texan is a little hard to understand. But they are hurting confused children. But when she says they're hurting, I'm assuming we're working here with H-U-R-T-I-N-G. I wonder if she means in the same sense that, like, say, pro-life Luke Bowen wanted to hurt him some children. Reckon Marveline here has ever heard of Luke Bowen? I bet you she loves her some Texas Right to Life. Don't you just know it?
There's the evil. Please think hard on this. And I have a quote too. It's by Jesus Christ.
Really, it's by Jesus Christ. No T.
If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin,
Luke Bowen,
it would be better for him to have a large millstone.
Not a small one, not a medium sized one, but a large millstone.
Hung around your neck and dropped to the bottom of the sea.
Luke Bowen.
Pray hard. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Oh, my God. She could barely raise it. My goodness gracious. It's like she was telling a secret. Adrian Quinn Martin said what she's referring to as the progressives that were let in the door is a purely student-led gay straight alliance club. She's upset they've been allowed to have their club. One wonders if she even has a kid in school. Seems like the type that doesn't. And I'm just going to be a little catty here. Honey, an 80s sleeveless sequin dress is not your best look for that. No. It's not a good look, honey. But in a place like Texas, when someone like Adrian Quinn Martin is willing to speak up and speak truth to power, I think we honor that. I think it's a good thing to give her further reach. And of course, the moms for Liberty are
children.
God, every time I think of the sales associate at Royal Furniture on Florence Boulevard in Florence, Alabama, leaning over to my phone. There's George Jones. My dad saying,
"Who's George Jones?"
I agree. Steve says, "I'd like to nominate Ms. Martin for a cowbell." I second, and by acclamation and unanimous consent, award one. Steve goes on to give her to get Whispering Wanda. Oh, that's a cowbell all by itself. Whispering Wanda.
I wonder if she's like that around the house all the time. I don't know. These progressives do not seek the treasure. Do not seek the treasure.
I'm sorry. Suman says, why does she sound like a bad movie trailer? She could easily act as a serial killer in a slasher movie. Oh, probably because there's one of those living somewhere inside her. Emilio says, PTA Freebird!
Go, Mama, go.
That's for the good lady, Adrian Quinn Martin.
Why is the lady whispering about the evil demo gays, and why am I whispering along with her? Do I get a pepper grinder along with my millstone? Would you like fries with that? See, when somebody starts whispering, everybody else starts whispering. There's probably studies about it.
Oh, yeah.
And we can't have any books that tell kids who are gay that it's okay that they're gay.
I'm guessing Adrian Quinn Martin and Whispering Wanda don't, they're not part of the same bridge club. And Irish Days says, what would that movie be titled? The Library Whisperer?
Shh. Maybe they hold the school board meetings in the library. Maybe that's the answer.
And something that Adrian Quinn Martin said is quite noteworthy. I implore the board to put an end to attempts to appease these extremists. Focus on retaining staff. Because, among other things, Texas has a terrible, serious teacher shortage. Because a lot of teachers don't want to teach schools in a fascist, almost to breakaway state, failed state kind of place. And curiously enough, they've also got massive vacancies inside the Department of Family Protective Services after Greg Aspott and indicted felon Ken Paxton, who somehow, for some reason or another, can't be tried, decided to attack the loving parents of little kids who want to do right by their little kids. Some email exchanges inside the Department of Family and Protective Services in Texas had protective service workers saying, I will quit this effing job before I will rat out a parent who just loves their kid. And it's not a minority opinion. You gotta wonder where they're gonna. But then again, maybe remember, Republicans are the people who want to drown government in a bathtub. If you don't have very many people working for the Department of Family Protective Services, then you won't have anybody responding to Department of Family Protective Services problems. Which means then you. Remember the logic of Nitwit Nero.
if you don't report these cases, you don't have the cases.
Remember? COVID? I mean, it's... For what it is, it's an unassailable form of non-logic. So maybe ultimately there just won't be a Department of Family Protective Services. Or not much of one beyond, you know, skeleton level. Like, maybe there won't be enough to report the Luke Bowens of the world when they actually get their hands on a child to try to fuck. Of course, you got to wonder how much, I mean, bless her heart for saying, go to what great Christians they are. Great, go tell your pastor. Our schools are not your church. Fair enough. But that's probably not going to mean something to a guy who wrote a book called Devotions for Superintendents. He, you know, theocrats gone a theocrat. And Ms. Martin went on to point out that all these barking, grunting, hooting freaks who show up at the Granbury ISD school board meetings, not one of them is an actual parent of a student in the school, including Whispering Wanda. God, these people need to be mocked until they don't leave their houses. Hey, look, everybody. It's Whispering Wanda. And the superintendent had not a damned word to say after Ms. Martin got done with him. Good on her. You know, we had a little chat about that CNN story with the use yesterday with the use of the term so-called. You can, there's a story like that in any given broadcast day. Got one from Reuters here. Embattled U.S. Democrats riled over Biden's student loan forgiveness. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? And it really, the story, really, the lead sentence of the piece really, I mean, begins with a bang. U.S. President Joe Biden's move to waive college loan payments for millions of Americans drew criticism from some of his fellow Democrats. And then Reuters playing along with the likes of the Republicans out there. They're just trying to bribe the voters. And let's see, we are 1, 2, 3. Okay, third paragraph in an article, get this, in an article about Democrats being pissed about student loan forgiveness, you get to the third paragraph before any specific Democrat is named, and the third paragraph reads, many Democrats embraced the $10,000 loan forgiveness plan, including some in close races, such as Senator Raphael Warnock of Georgia. So that is directly contrary to the headline. And then the fourth paragraph is a single sentence, yet Biden has managed to anger some of his party's most embattled lawmakers. And the next paragraph quotes Representative Sharice Davids, a Democrat, the only one in the congressional delegation of Kansas, a lesbian, and, how about that, an indigenous woman. Oh, so maybe she's going to be the one who levels the criticism. Let's see, what was the word? Riled. Maybe she's the one who's riled. Let's check her quote to Reuters. We should focus on making higher education and technical schools more affordable in the first place and expose students to trades and apprenticeships that help them get good-paying jobs without a mountain of debt. I'm trying to find the riling in there. Anybody hear any riling? And that quote, which doesn't even remotely criticize the loan forgiveness, said, that was one in an unusual series of rebukes to a president from lawmakers in his own party complaining that Biden's program is both poorly targeted and plays into Republican accusations of being a big spending party. Okay, so we are, let's keep counting here. Let's see, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Paragraph 8, quote, we should be focusing on passing my legislation to expand Pell Grants for lower-income students, target loan forgiveness to those in need, and actually make college more affordable for working families, said Democratic Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, a first-term senator from Nevada, one of a handful of battleground states that will decide the Senate's fate for the next 2 years. Maybe I'm just not reading it right, but I'm not hearing the riling in there either. All right, let's try another Democrat, Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan, member of the House of Representatives. She said, I'm happy for the folks who will get relief from this policy, but this is a one-time Band-Aid that doesn't get to the root of the problem. Again, I'm missing the riling. Because she's not wrong. The root of the problem is predatory lending practices by for-profit banking institutions. And it's a good first step. It's a good beginning. It's not an end unto itself, this program. But Reuters appears to be, and of course Reuters is owned by some multi-billionaire goddamn corporation who has a vested interest. Never mind, we know. We know. Instead, I'm not sure that preposition is properly used, Slotkin said, the administration should pursue reforms such as including a cap on interest rates on student loans. The two are not mutually exclusive. You only say instead if the person has previously said that it was wrong. She said, I'm happy for the folks who will get relief from the policy. And so, you know, we're a dozen paragraphs in, and you get what? Congressional Progressive Caucus Chair Pramila Jayapal urged Biden to cancel $50,000 in student loan debt per borrower, though she said his move was a step in the right direction. Still no riling! And maybe it seems like I'm putting too much into this. Maybe I am. But this is a, you know, this isn't the Daily Barker or the, you know, the grunting caller. This is freaking Reuters. This is so-called straight news. This is a wire service that you can depend on for writing your copy. Okay? And if it promises riling, it had better goddamn deliver some riling. Unless maybe the intent is to create an impression of something that doesn't actually exist. I mean, sure. In the last 24 hours or so, I've seen posts by members of the Sparkle Fart Propelled Unicorn Cavalry Purity Patrol saying, he should have canceled all student debt. I would have loved it if he had. But that sure does feel like letting the perfect be the enemy of the good. And I think we knew all along that Joseph Robinette Biden, President of the United States, was not sufficiently progressively pure. I mean, I don't think we're having that debate anymore, are we? And so we're a dozen or more paragraphs into this piece. And then we get a little nugget of actual information. The plan, which will have to withstand a likely court challenge, gave Republicans a new opening as they argued it would stoke inflation while helping many wealthy borrowers. So I guess they've given up on the riling here, haven't they, at Reuters? Who's our riled writer? Our riled writers are Richard Cowan and Joseph Axe, to grind. And so, having quoted not a single Democrat who is riled at the $10,000 to $20,000 of debt forgiveness that's in this plan, well, they just gave up and moved on. And we get that paragraph about stoke inflation while helping many wealthy borrowers. Quote, thanks to Tim Ryan and Joe Biden, Ohio workers are paying off the loans of Harvard law students. If this seems unfair and illegal, it's because it is. Finally, somebody's riled. Oh, wait. That's J.D. Hillbilly, the Republican nominee for Senate in the state, the Buckeye State, who, incidentally, was mentored by the Tiger Mom when he was going to school and not paying a hell of a lot for it at Yale. Mm. And Tim Ryan is orders of magnitude smarter than J.D. Vance and said, instead of forgiving student loans for six-figure earners, we should be working to level the playing field for all Americans, including an across-the-board tax cut for working and middle-class families. And, of course, the lion's share of this debt forgiveness will go to people who are making less than $75,000 a year. Not every day that you see something nice happen for Americans making less than $75,000 a year now, is it? This is why we can't have nice things. And some of these things just, they're frustrating. Because generally you see something like Reuters or Associated Press, you go, okay, well, maybe this is going to be accurate. Maybe this is going to be factual. Instead, we get a promise of riled up Democrats who are embattled. And there ain't bupkis about them in there. Now, is this the fault of the reporters? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the fault. I mean, some of that writing's a little sketchy. But maybe it's the fault of whoever's writing the headlines trying to get clicks on the internet and eyeballs on pages. Let's see, by reading this, I've been told that I can get peak lapel suits and check out smartphone offers at Verizon, which was the purpose of putting it up there all along. Gymnastics gear for sale, shop holiday gifts and more. Oh, those algorithms. Don't think I'm going to be doing any gymnastics anytime. Oh, whatever. It gets frustrating, though, from time to time. Hey, let's run over to the stress line, see who's there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey there, hi there, honey.
Well, howdy, and you're as welcome as can be.
How are you?
I'm good.
You know, we're talking. I heard you talking about the student loan thing, and I know I sent you that. I texted you that article about how all these Republicans screaming about how dare you cancel student loan debt and blah blah bruga 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 bruga
bruga bruga bruga.
All
yes.
these people call everyone bruga 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 and call them all out on how much they got in PPP loan forgiveness.
Free money.
First of all,
and a hell of a lot more than any $10,000 stinking dollars.
That part. And like for me, because I got the Pell Grant, so I would be eligible for $20,000. If my loans hadn't already, you know, my loans have been discharged, so I don't have to worry about that. But still. I mean, some of these assholes got like 400. First of all, why are members of Congress even getting PPP loans in the first place?
Because they set it up that way?
Congress. Okay, my bad. I forget that things are not. Hold on a second. I forget that things are not, made for the people who have PPP. So, yeah. So, I forget about that kind of stuff. Because it's just beyond me how these people... It's like, what I love about it is that the PPP loan information and loan forgiveness, even better information, is public knowledge. Did you know that? Until I sent you that... did you know that right. That was public information?
Sure. I mean...
Of course you did. Mm-hmm. No, I had no idea that if people got loan forgiveness, then it was public information. So yeah, the night and day that I had the other day, that made my heart sing with finding that out and that you know stop talking, just don't say a word. Just let just let people can the government help the real people that need the help in this country? I'm naive, but I'm one of those people that's like, well, why didn't they do more? But like you said, it's a start.
I mean,
it's a start.
There's an old story, I don't know if it's true, but it sounds believable, that when Medicare was first passed in the 60s, that it was designed, 65 and up.
Please.
But
yeah, and then it was supposed to work its way down to,
LBJ's plan, he hadn't decided not to run for his own second term yet. LBJ's plan was, we'll push that number downward as we go if we can keep control. And we never saw that because LBJ got mired in Vietnam and realized that he could not, that it didn't have a prayer. And so Hubert Humphrey winds up running against Richard Nixon, and the rest is history.
Rest is history. Yeah. But isn't it, and also, when Medicare was first, enacted, it almost didn't make it because, the Southerners are like, well, we all fine with it, but then black people might get it too, so I don't know about that.
Right.
So it's like,
And the same with Social Security.
Oh, was it Social Security? The Medicare or Social Security, and not let's not forget.
Yeah, people of color, and particular jobs, were left out of Social Security, like domestic workers. In the 1930s, for a reason, and we know what that is.
So yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, Tracy, I am interested. Herschel Walker has been running around Georgia saying, Raphael Warnock won't debate me. Of course, it's hard to debate a guy who says, "Don't we have too many trees?" Or wants to, or says that we have to clean up China's dirty air. I know. Well, turns out that there's going to be a debate in Macon, Georgia, on October the 13th, and Senator Warnock's going to be there. But Hirsch says he can't make that because he's got some football, some NFL to watch.
Wait. Now, he's been running around saying that Senator Warnock won't debate him. So, Senator Warnock does agree to a debate.
And that's the 14th, and they're both going to be at a debate in Savannah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But October the 13th is a Thursday. And Thursday night football.
Haven't you ever heard this thing called a DVR there, Herschel?
And it was kind of funny. Herschel said, "I'm not going to respond to anything because you know that's not a debate, and you know that you got people that are contributors to this campaign, and it's in this room that only two people are going to see on a Sunday night. I think NFL football. I'm giving you an opportunity to be statewide so everybody can see what it is, see the contrast between the two of us. I don't know how you can ask for anything better." Sunday night football, October the 13th. When October the 13th is a Thursday. Nothing but a yard full of rakes for Herschel, and he just keeps stepping on every one of them. Whack!
Blam, 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 whack, whack. It's hard enough to be taken seriously when you are a person of black, descendant of slaves and stuff like that. People are going to already think that you are there because of quotas or affirmative action or whatever the case may be, that you did not get there on your own merit. And so, but then, as hard as we work, as most Black Americans do, to get to wherever station in life or achieve whatever success we've had, here we have somebody like Herschel Walker and CEO Tim. See?
Well, I mean, is there anybody who has two brain cells to rub together that doesn't know that Reverend Warnock will very gently and Christianly mop the floor with Herschel, maybe pray for him or something?
Right, that was going to be my point. You know, Reverend Warnock is a decent human being. As some of those Georgians that are, you know, around, they do not deserve Reverend Warnock as a senator. They don't deserve him. But because of our electoral system, they have him. The very people who will vote for Herschel Walker to unseat Reverend Senator Warnock. So, but Herschel, and I think that's probably why he just wouldn't debate him. Because it's like, he don't want to embarrass the brother. So that's the kind of man he is.
Right. If Herschel wasn't being run by such hateful people, really bearing down on him might be a little like kitten kicking, you know?
Yes.
No decent part. But by the same token, the distinction between the two men is going to have to be made abundantly clear.
There's
a frightening aspect of American politics to this, because do you remember how Al Gore mopped the floor with George W. Bush and then got excoriated for the rest of the campaign because he looked at his watch? Remember that?
Slightly. I don't remember that.
And the for-profit media were all over themselves, saying, George just didn't the sharpest knife in the chandelier now. No, all the headlines were, Al Gore looks at watch.
Right.
You know, sometimes you can be too good. You know, when Lloyd Benson looked at Dan Quayle and said, I knew John Kennedy. John Kennedy was my friend. Senator, you're no John Kennedy. That was, like, too mean. That was, like, unfair, because it was true. Sometimes truth is deemed unfair when you're dealing with the American multi-billionaire for-profit media.
That was so mean.
Yeah.
You told me to, you want me to go ahead and kiss your boo-boo and put some lidocaine on it?
Right, and a cookie, and let's go for ice cream, you can even have a cupcake,
you
honey. You want sprinkles on your ice cream?
You go with that, mm-hmm. And you can sit in the front seat on the way home. That's right up there where everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah.
Or for participating. I'm at that point where, when Jan and I was to Panama, I took my Roku with me, and I'm so glad I did. But one of the cool things was that KBC Channel 7 have the app for the news, not for any of, broadcast television, but just for the news. So Jed and I were able, to watch the news while we were in Panama to keep up with what was going on here. And, I mean, I love the fact that the recall against George Gascon failed miserably.
It did fail.
It did fail. At least that's what I thought I heard, but I'm pretty sure it did. Because I haven't heard any ads recently, since I've been home, at least, about, the continuing about him being recalled. So I believe that it did fail. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it did. And, but there's only so much a person can take. And I'm just, the level of just awfulness. This straight up awfulness. Yeah, you know what? I really do believe, because, remember that woman that, that was going 100 miles an hour and killed 6 people and injured like 9. She's being charged. I think I sent you, because I was ranting, I sent you a text with, how long she's, they're charging her. I think it was like 4 counts of vehicular manslaughter and some other stuff. And the stuff that I think she's being held with like some crazy like $10 million bail or something like that, if she even got bail. And because, the whole thing was that George Gascon was soft on crime, which is not true. And because one of the rallying cries is, those two unfortunately, I think it was Monterey Park or forget where, were murdered by somebody that was happened let out of jail or put on probation. And he's like, if it hadn't been for him, because this is the guy who, sparked the recall campaign, the former DA Steve Cooley. This is, that's saying something without saying it, trying to be coy. And it's like, I'm not saying that it is George Gascon's fault that this guy was out on probation, but blah, blah. You know, had he not been out on probation, these two officers would not have been killed. And then as the investigation went further, the problem was it wasn't that he was let out and be on probation. The fact that the probation department was not keeping an eye on him. As a matter of fact, his family on a number of occasions had called his probation officer or the probation department saying that he had a gun, that there was a problem, and nobody followed up on it. Then all of a sudden, you stop hearing people blaming George Gascon for the murder of those two officers. And there's just some other high-profile cases as well that warranted, throw them in jail and throw away the key situations, especially that woman that killed those people. And come to find out, Robin, she had had over the course of how many years, but she had had 13 accidents. Two or three that resulted in her car being totaled. So, what was going on with that? Why did she even still have a license?
Because Texas.
But then again, they also, Texas, right. But the thing is also that they, because everybody just knew she was drunk. But apparently when they did, the blood alcohol, test, not a drop. So now they're thinking that it was some severe mental illness that was going on with her.
Yeah. I mean, people have problems. And,
Yes, they do. And
in an enlightened society, we try to help people with problems. But this is not an enlightened society. You know how bad I am with California geography, right?
Yeah.
So, where is Torrance?
Yeah. Torrance is in the South Bay. So, if you were flying into L.A. from, landing at LAX, so to go LAX, which is basically Westchester / Inglewood, then you would have El Segundo, El Segundo Redondo Beach, Hawthorne. Torrance is more inland, so you would have Inglewood, Hawthorne, Lenox, and Gardena, Torrance. So Torrance is basically in the South Bay area of Los Angeles.
Okay.
Why? What's going on in Torrance?
Well, the story goes back to 2018 when a 23-year-old guy named Christopher DeAndre Mitchell was blown away by a pair of Torrance officers, Matthew Concannon and Anthony
Torrance
Chavez.
Police officers?
Yeah. All these years later, four of them, information has come out that in the wake of that, that extrajudicial execution for all, it's murder, that in the immediate
murder?
Yes. In the immediate aftermath of that, 15 officers from the Torrance, California PD got caught exchanging text messages about killing more black folks.
Oh, like that sheriff in Mississippi?
These guys make him pale by comparison.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God.
Let's see. Two officers, Christopher Tomsick and Cody Weldon, were caught spray painting a swastika inside of an impounded vehicle. And then a search warrant executed for the case unearthed at least 15 more police officers had exchanged violent, racist, and homophobic messages for several years, but lawyers for the cops and the cop union had managed to suppress it all. One of the messages said, "Was good," and I apologize in advance.
was going to tell you all those N-word family members are all pissed off in front of the station. This is right after they murdered Christopher DeAndre Mitchell. Another one writes back, gun cleaning party at my house when they release my name. Another cop says, yeah, absolutely. Let's all just post in your yard with lawn chairs and a firing squad.
Yeah, that was a huge case. That was one of the bigger, that was like Melina, you know, Dr. Melina Abdullah and Black Lives Matter LA, they were all over this. They were having vigils and all sorts of stuff as a result of that murder. Wow. Well, let me tell you. Okay, so when you ask, let me tell you about Torrance. Interesting.
Tomczyk and Weldon, two of the cops that were spray painting swastikas. They left the department in 2020, but nobody knows if they were fired or if they resigned to another precinct. Reassigned.
Right.
Then there was Officer Brian Kawamoto who said he wanted to make Torrance great again. Called Black Lives Matter protesters savages. Another cop said that he would shoot black children. The term he used was put down. And he used a racist epithet for a small black child with the letters L. No. The letters L-E-T appended as a suffix to the front end of the word.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
They sent around racist cartoons of black and Latino people. And this is, oh my God, the cop lawyer is a guy named Tom Yu. Who said, the bottom line is, if I send a message to the bottom line is, if I send a message to my coworker about how I feel about certain people, why did the police have the constitutional right to seize that and use that against me? If I'm making an enforcement act as a police officer and I'm not making the enforcement decision based on how I feel, then who cares about how I feel? What? What draw spunky school of law on the back of the matchbook did Tom Yu graduate? Oh, no, it's probably, I don't know, Bolt Hall at Berkeley, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, true.
Of course, there's oodles of law schools.
Well, let
in
me
California.
Give you a brief.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oodles. So let me give you a brief history of Torrance, California. Now, Torrance has been around since, like, not too long after World War II. And it was working class neighborhood, blue collar, because there's a lot of factories and stuff, not in Torrance. And of course, white. I mean, these neighborhoods were actually advertised as, you know, white neighborhoods. Okay, and this is before this, you know, the Fair Housing Act, the Fair Housing Act that we actually had in the state of California as well. And so it was very racist. I mean, it is still a very white city. As a matter of fact, my aunt moved to Torrance in the late 70s, early 80s. And woke up with a cross burning on her lawn.
Jesus.
Okay. So Torrance is basically like the Burbank of the South. I mean, pretty much all of the South Bay. You know, don't let, just because it's, I mean, remember, these are the South Bay is the same people who stole the, you know, that beachfront property, from that black couple, like Bruce Beach. You know, so don't let, oh, it's suckers, and that's, you know, totally cool and right and laid back there. No. I spend very little time, if any at all. There's just, I mean, like, I go to Torrance if I have to, but for the most part, I'm not up in there. There's just, life's too short to get eyeballed any time and everywhere you go somewhere. Now, of course, it's become a lot more diverse than it was back, you know, 40-some-odd years ago. But still, not many black folks living up in Torrance at all. So, you know, when you have a city like this, who, you know, like you said, make Torrance great again, it, you know, like I said, it was a very, 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 very white city back in the day. And it's, like I said, actually now there's a large Asian population there as well. But, you know, they're the model minority, so we're not going to really mess with this. That part, that racist crap. And speaking of California, you know, there's a Governor Newsom is proposing a bill. I don't know if you heard about this, or I don't know if it's Governor Newsom or our state legislature, which is a supermajority. And so it still pisses me off on a regular basis that the you know, basically Medicare or whatever, you know Medicaid or for all in California did not pass, because there was no reason for it not to. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation, because we know why, you know, insurance companies and big pharma, you know, funding our legislature. But anyway, but on a happy note, so they are proposing a law that if any 501c3 corporate company or whatever organization rather has been found that supported anything to do with January 6th, they will lose their tax exemption. Only in the state of California, because we can't do, you know, because they can't lose their, you can't do anything about their federal tax exemption. But they can do something about their state taxes. How about them apples?
Nice.
I'm like, when I heard that, I mean, it's the little things that keep you trying, you know, hearing that picture of that pastrami sandwich that I sent you with the,
well,
you
I was
know,
wondering,
the homemade
pickles. Yeah, I was wondering, was that corned beef or pastrami?
Pastrami. I don't really like corned beef.
Pastrami is corned beef.
Not a big corned beef fan. Well, it is just, pastrami is thinner. The way they slice it, I don't know. But it's just, I don't like, it's something about corn, like a straight up corned beef sandwich. It's just kind of stringy to me. I don't know. But I prefer
It depends on the cut that it comes from.
Right. So, yeah, no, this place caught, you know, and that was a half a sandwich, and I barely finished it, Robin.
Oh, that looked barely. Like a dandy. Did you have mustard?
Oh, yeah, but I don't, you know what? I was so hungry that I just didn't, you know. I like deli mustard, and it was the regular packet mustard, and I'm like, I'd rather just not have mustard, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, plain old yellow mustard, I'll just pass. Unless it's a hand-dipped corn dog.
Right. Well, that's a whole different conversation. That's a whole, you know, like you say, yellow mustard like that, okay. I'm there for it. I am 100% down for it. But yeah, no. So that and in the $20,000, you know, for Pell Grants, was up to $20,000 for people who got Pell Grants, and the fact that people got called out for talking crap about people getting the forgiveness, the student loan, you know. If you're going to loan, you should pay it back, period. Okay, buddy. So, well, you got to pay your loan, and you got, somebody got like over $1 million in loan forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oh, I'm sorry, but even if you went to Harvard from, you know, from undergrad, graduate, and postgrad, I don't think you would have racked up $1 million in student loan debt. you know?
Depends on where you live.
Well, it depends on where you live and how long you're in, well, and the interest charges on it.
Right.
And all that over the years. Because I did, I think I sent you an article about a month or so back about this woman. I think she's probably in her 70s, maybe, yeah. And how she, you know, I think she went on, I don't know if she just got her master's or if she went on and got her PhD. But the bottom line is she still owed $92,000 in student loan debt because of interest. Some, you know, 50 some odd years later. See, that's what I find troubling. Is that these people who will die with student loan debt. And yet these people are going on and on about $10,000 or $20,000. They spend more than that on an appropriation bill for, I don't know, just name a government contract, you know?
Sure.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay, I thought I lost you.
No, I'm right here.
For that part. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, and considering, you know, I don't, you know, what I went through Tuesday night, I need some happy.
You do.
You know, I need, you know, I need to hear some good things. Because I'm still not okay, Robin.
No, I don't doubt it.
Still not.
And, this is not the good news part, but just a little postscript to the whole Torrance story. Almost every one of the cops who were involved is still on the force.
Of course. I see. So you notice how I didn't even ask the question. Do they still have their jobs? And yet, over here at LA City Council, Mark Ridley Thomas, who was only indicted, has yet to go to trial, was not only stripped and suspended from his city council seat. They also took away his medical and his salary. Now, I know Mark Ridley Thomas ain't going to be on food stamps, okay? And I don't know whether he did what they say he did. How for never. You got people like these cops who are literally bragging about killing folks. And yet they still have their job.
Well, it's mighty,
they're not even on administrative leave.
It's mighty hard to fire a cop because the cop union is one of the cop unions are some of the strongest unions in the country.
And here's the thing about that too. Also, the whole part of, you know, like you said, the cop unions are some of the strongest unions in the country. And yet, I bet you the majority of those people that are in the cop union would have connections. Like when you hear about, like we just the Hotel Marmont in West Hollywood, you know, it's a landmark and all that. Hey, it was featured in the movie about the Godfather movie, the woman who was old boy's girlfriend owned the hotel. Chateau Marmont. Well, yeah. Anyway, they just voted. They have been trying to unionize that hotel for decades. The hotel is now a union shop, Robin.
Nice.
You know, so, but what I'm saying is the same people, it's like my brother-in-law who always got stuff to say about stuff, who was a pilot. You know, he's a retired pilot. And yet, he will talk about why, you know, union this and union that. But, buddy, you were in the union as a, what you call it, as a pilot. So they love the idea of what the benefits of having a union, but they don't want anybody else to have those benefits of having collective bargaining power and having a decent wage and all the things that, I don't know, come with being a member of a union. The hypocrisy is strong with these people, Robert.
Sure it is. And you know,
strong with these people. So, and for people who's like, well, what happened to you on Tuesday? I'm just going to do the Reader's Digest version because it's still rather traumatizing. Tuesday night, I got a flat tire at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, I was in my cab, and I have AAA. You know, AAA, yes, if you have a quote-unquote commercial vehicle, which, yes, my taxi is a commercial vehicle, but it's still a car. So I've had a few occasions where I have to call AAA and in my taxi, and by rights, the driver did not have to service me. But every single time, except save one a few years back and the other night, the drivers just, you know, do what I need. Because I'm a female, right? They see a woman in distress, and that, you know, whether I needed a tow, whether I needed a jump, whatever the case may be, I've never had a problem except for a few years ago and last on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. So I got a flat tire, and a friend of mine, who was another cab driver, you know, came in to help me, and we got the tire, you know, I'm in the minivan, and the spare is underneath the car, so we did everything, you know, got the spare down and got the car jacked up. I went to go remove the tire with the flat, and my lug wrench did not work on the lugs. They were the wrong size. And at that point, we're like, okay, I'm going to call AAA. So after waiting an hour, and thank God I wasn't alone, but I waited, and I was at 7-Eleven, so it was well lit. I see the tow truck. Now, he sees me, so he pulls onto the back part of the parking lot, and he sees my van, he sees and he doesn't even come all the way in. I had to walk to him, and his window was rolled up, and I instantly knew what the problem was. It was, now this is when I need you to help me describe this. I mean, he was everything. He was about probably 400 pounds, no neck, balding, this sweaty, white orangutan. Just the only thing he was missing was a tattoo with Trump 2024 on his arm. And I'm standing there, and he's like absolutely refusing to acknowledge my presence. And then when he finally rolls down the window, he doesn't say, hello, Miss Porter, are you Miss Porter? Tracy Porter? And I'm like, yes. Now, normally, you know, the tow truck, are you okay? It's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Are you safe? No. This guy, and then the next thing out of his mouth was, well, you know, AAA, they don't service commercial vehicles. And I said, sir, I am aware of that policy, but it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, I can't get the lug nuts off the car. I need help. I'm a woman. I'm by myself. I need help. And then he repeated. AAA doesn't. I said, sir, I understand that. So just tell me how much it's going to cost me for you to change my tire. And he looked at me. Robin, I've never looked at that way before. A chill went down my spine. I felt instantly ill and terrified. And he looked at me like he looks me up and down, and he says, $110. I said, okay, that's fine. Do you take credit cards? And he's like, yeah. And so at that point, that's when he pulled, got pulled up into the drive into where my car was. Now, he didn't know at the time that I wasn't actually alone, that my friend, that was trying to help me in the first place was with me. My buddy, his name is Caesar. Bravo. Every bit of Mexican. But at least he was a man. And just the way the man never acknowledged me, nothing. And so finally, he writes up the paperwork and he asks me, I hand him my gold MX card. And then he had the nerve to ask me for my ID. And at that point, I couldn't function anymore. So I walked away, and fortunately, I let Caesar handle it. And so as I was standing, leaning up against the building, a couple of black folks walked past. And they saw the fat fried chicken eating, blah, blah, blah. And they knew. Robert never said a word. But they felt that something was wrong. They felt it. They knew something was wrong. And they didn't. And they said, well, first thing out of their mouth
like heat waves. Like heat waves rising off the pavement.
Right. The first thing out of their mouths were, are you okay, sis? Because they saw it. This is truly, at that moment, a black thing. I've been blessed that I've lived in California all my life. And even now I'm thinking about it, and I'm traumatized, but still. Y'all have known me for over 10 years. Y'all have known what I've gone through. Before I started calling on the show, and since I've called on the show. And so, I've been to jail, Robin, and I did not feel, even in the 13 days or however long I was in jail, I felt nothing like I felt that night. Because, see, when you're incarcerated, you are, even though I've never had, until that day, that time and since, ever dealt with the criminal injustice system, as far as incarceration is concerned, you kind of know what to expect. You know you are no longer a human being. You have no rights, so forth and so far. Even when I was strip searched, Robin, cavity searched, I didn't feel like I did Tuesday night. And that's saying something.
Can you point to anything in particular that's a pretty stark line of demarcation. Can you point, where did it change?
What changed? How I felt? It was from Jump Street. It was from the moment when he made me walk to him, to the truck. And then he did not even make me stand there while he kept his window rolled up and didn't even look at me. It was just from the moment I made contact. And then the way he looked at me, and then this is what I said to him, because I'm like, I pray to God that if you have any women in your life, that if this ever happens to them, that they don't have an experience like I'm having. And his response, he just smirked. So that part. And so this is, like I said, I have dealt with racism all my life. in various and sundry forms. But see, the thing is, I've never experienced that kind of raw, unadulterated. I know that it, to the point that I kept wondering what would have happened had I been, had this happened and I was stuck on the side of a dark road or the freeway or a dark road or what have you. And if I was alone, that's just how unnerved and vulnerable and straight up terrified I was. Cause that's all I could think of. And then, you know, I've read about the, you know, the things that prompted the civil rights movement and the things that, you know, my ancestors went through, you know, that my do in the South back in the day. And again, you know, that having to go to the back of the bus, having to go to the balcony, having to go to the back of a restaurant in order to get, I'm paying for a service. Because at this point, he's not taking AAA. I'm paying out of my pocket. So to be treated with the way I was treated and the way he continued to treat me, and like I said, after I gave him my card and then the way he handed it back to me, like, oh, God, like, just touching it made me, the black was going to rub off on him. And so, like I said, I didn't deal with him anymore because, like I said, Steven stood there and made sure when he put, you know, when he took off the tire and he put on the spare that he put air in, he did what he was supposed to do. That part. But I was shook. And like I said, and those black people there helped as well because, see, I didn't have to explain or say anything to them because they knew without me saying a word. And so with that, and then, you know, when he finally left, and then I got in my car and my friend Caesar followed me all the way home. And then he, because by this time it was 3 something in the morning. He followed me home and then he went, and he lives basically from where, okay, he had just gone straight home from the airport, he lives in Covina. It would have taken him maybe 40 minutes at that, maybe 30 minutes at that time in the morning. But so he followed me to my house, which is 40 minutes in itself. And, you know, and then he had to go, which is north of the freeway. So he's northeast of the airport and I'm northwest. But then he basically went past his freeway to make sure. So he would go home to the foot. From there, the 405 to the 10 to get home. And for me, it's the 405 to the 101. So we go past, the 101 is north of the 10. So he went out of his way to make sure I was got home safely, and then he went home. So he didn't get home until like 3:30 in the morning. That part.
Night from hell.
Right. You know, and on top of, and see, the day had already started off crap anyway because I couldn't find, I got up to go to work Tuesday, couldn't find my wallet, and then Tuesday was my airport day, and I got crap trip after crap trip after crap trip, and just everybody that I dealt with Tuesday were just not very nice people. And that doesn't usually happen. One trip after the other day was just horrible. And then it culminated. Well, I thought the worst of the evening of the day was the flat tire. And then come to find out, somebody did that on purpose. What gave me the flat was that somebody stuck an Allen wrench in my tire. Robin, you and I both know. What are the chances of me running over an Allen wrench?
Well, no, back up.
And if I
back up. What are the odds of an Allen wrench lying on its back where it can get into
right.
your... Okay? No, we talked about the mechanics of this.
That part. No. That was intentional. Because it wasn't all the way in the tire. So that part. So, yeah, so... You know, and so, of course, I didn't go to... So, I let my parents know Tuesday morning. Because, you know, cause of course, there's no tire places open early in the morning. So I texted my parents and said, I'm not, you know, I have a flat tire. And I don't really, you know, even though the spare is fine, I just don't feel comfortable transporting your kids with the distance that I have to drive on the spare. So there would be a substitute driver. And, it, you know, I didn't go into account, you know, what happened and all that. But so then, as the morning wore on, maybe I started thinking, I'm like, I really am not in a good place. I am not, on Wednesday morning, yesterday morning, I'm like, I don't think, I because I was in a place that if somebody said the wrong thing, I don't know what I would, how I would react to. So then I, Jan's like, just don't go to work. Just take the day to do what you need to, you know, and get yourself together. So I took, so I didn't work at all yesterday. I when people talk about taking a mental health day, I've never, you know, I understand the concept because we all do need to do that. But I mean, I know I've needed mental health days more often than not. But yesterday, I see the reason behind a mental health day. Because it wasn't just a mental thing, it was a physical thing. It's too because I was nauseated, I was sweating, I had cotton mouth. It was like I said, I've never experienced anything like that in my life. And so when people say, you know, my well intentioned white friends, who said, well, are you sure it was really that bad? Or are you sure you're not overreacting? Until you have lived a life as a person of color who can just be killed just because of who I am, never, ever, 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 ever ask that question. Please, God, don't. Because, especially the fact as a woman, I just know he might have acted some kind of, any old kind of way if I had been a black man, but he wouldn't have been stupid. You know what I'm saying? It would have been a whole different situation. But he saw a black woman. And that was that. So that was my day on Tuesday night. And it's like you said, I just thought of this thing about, what is it? And so how was the play? How did you enjoy the play, Mrs. Lincoln? But you want to know the irony in all this?
What?
I started grad school next Monday. And so we had a discussion forum to, like, introduce each other, you know, each other introduction is what they call, you know, what the cool kids are calling it now, right? And so, and you know, one of the questions was, you know, why did you choose this program? And one of the things that I said was because of, you know, the disparities for black women and equality and how we are, you know, usually low man on the totem pole. And I want to do something about that and blah, blah, blah. And it's because of this quote by Malcolm X that I had. So I put this quote in the chat, right? And the quote is, and this is from a speech, an excerpt from a speech that Malcolm X gave in LA in 1962. And the quote says, the most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected woman person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And I had just put that in, I had just put that in the chat on Sunday. It was either Monday or Sunday. And then that happened to me Tuesday night. And I felt, I was like, I've always felt that, but after that, it truly had never hit home more for me, that particular quote, than it did on Tuesday night. That part. But I'm doing better now. You know, I haven't really been sleeping. I'm kind of a wreck at times. You know, I find myself crying just unexpectedly and all that good stuff. But I'm gonna be fine. And you know, those bright spots. The fact that
you've got things to attend to. You've got things to do to make the situation, you know, because anytime one of these things happens, a person of enlightenment will say, "What happens to the next person?"
Right, and trust and believe. Like I said, I'm not. You think I'm done with this? No, I just want to make sure. I just got to get my head right.
You have got and to get I, your I, mind I'm right. Not. Sorry, you can't give me a Strother Martin quote to get with no.
I have to get my mind right.
Because we are both Strother Martin fans.
Huge Strother Martin fans. Huge. You know, and so I think the worst part about this whole thing is the fact that I'm no longer in therapy because my therapist is no longer at the clinic that I was hired.
This shit only happens when you're between therapists.
Right, right. So now I really need to, this clinic, I've had some really good therapy and treatment there, but they are having, you know, the staffing shortages are just beyond, and I need to go somewhere else where, you know, sliding scale or something. Because if there was ever a time for me needing therapy and to be able to work through this, it would be now. And like I said, It's that anger. It's just because, again, I'm thinking, this man was a mountain, Robin. So, and you know, I'm no little girl, but he could have hurt me.
Yeah,
without even breaking a sweat, even though you're already sweating.
We talked about this when. When you start raising the issue, he's going to say, "Well, I was scared."
Right. You know, I feared for my life. For what? Oh, because of the black people in the Mexican. That's right. They're going to gang up on me. But see, all those people, because again, everything that he put me through, other than asking me for my ID, when I gave him my gold card. Other than that, he didn't know anybody was there waiting to help. You know, anybody was there for, you know, helping me or around me. And I don't really think he even saw the black people because he, like I said, he was away from me. I was up against the building, so it wasn't like they, you know, anybody was, you know, shadowing him or hovering over him. Even Caesar kept his distance. But he was still close enough to him to make sure he put on my tire right. you know, so that again, so it's just, so for my PSA for the day is especially for my, for anybody, but especially for my female horn members and sisters, before you get on, leave your house on your next time you leave your house, before, make sure you got everything right in your car. Make sure you got fixed it flat. Make sure your spare is okay. Make sure that the lug, that you have a lug wrench and a jack. Make sure that the lug wrench will take off your, the lug nuts on your, on your tire.
Yeah, see, that part still bugs me.
To remove.
That part's, yeah, basically this is the talk for any woman who's going to be on the road late at night.
Right, or any time of the day, but especially late at night. My friends, I get some, girl, for that, man, I needed some bear spray to get me. Straight up bear spray. Is it legal to carry bear spray?
State by state.
Or is that considered a concealed weapon?
It's a state-to-state kind of
okay,
thing.
Okay, so I just got to look that up. Okay, so I got to look that up then. Horn family, somebody look that up for me. I'm driving, so I can't look it up.
California.
Miss Tracy, go get her some bear spray. In California. And that be considered a concealed weapon.
I joke it. No, because look, who knows? You know, maybe in Torrance, bear spray while black may be, you know, a problem.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I got another story for you.
In Torrance?
No, not in Torrance. This is Childersburg, Alabama. Oh. This is Childersburg, Alabama. But it's every bit as stupid.
Alabama.
Alabama. Because apparently, watering your neighbor's flowers while they're on vacation while black is an arrestable offense, too. I mean, that's kind of a mouthful.
Come on, play
it. This happened to Pastor, you know, and not one of the bad ones.
Pastor.
one of the bad ones. No, stop it, Robin.
Was he peeing on the flowers and saying it was
lemonade? It was May the
26th. So it was actual water.
Out of a water hose. A garden hose.
Okay.
So
garden hose.
Pastor Pastor Michael Jennings lives in Childersburg, lives in a neighborhood. His neighbors were on vacation. It's hot and dry, and so he, before they left, he said, "Oh yeah, I'll make sure I water your flowers." And so he's watering the flowers because that's what every burglar case in the joint does, is water the flowers first.
Right.
And a Karen dropped the dime and called the 50.
Popo.
And the Childersburg cops roll up while he's watering the flowers. And you know, you wish this is so stupid. So breathtakingly stupid that it's, you know, it's like, who are the cops in Sanford and Son? Hoppy and...
Oh, and Hoppy and whatever, and my man, the brother, who, you know, went on to play the husband, Lester on 227.
Right. So, but it's not like that. Cops roll up and they say, sir, because say I have to do my, sir. What are you doing here?
Gonna do your Richard Pryor white guy voice.
Sir, what are you doing here? And the pastor, we'll call him Brother Jennings, and we'll just let Brother do a little extra work.
the word, that is. Brother Jennings says, watering the flowers. I mean, come on.
And
sir, whose car is that in the driveway?
Well, it's my neighbor's car. Whose flowers I'm watering?
Well, sir, we had a call of a suspicious flower waterer.
No, a suspicious individual. And so he goes, well, my name is Pastor Michael Jennings. I live across the street. They're on vacation. I'm watering their flowers. And then he goes on and he says, I'm supposed to be here. I'm Pastor Jennings. I live across the street. I'm looking out for the house while they're gone. And why are y'all coming up on me like this? Why y'all rolling
right,
up
why
on me?
Why are you rolling up on me?
Yeah. And I guess that's... And the cop, wow, sir. And at this point, Brother Jennings says, I don't care who called y'all. You want to lock me up? Lock me up. I'm not showing y'all anything. I'm going to continue watering these flowers. I don't care who called y'all. Lock me up and see what happens. And he goes on and says, you know, y'all are racially profiling me, just in case you were wondering. No, sir, we're not. Are we supposed to know if you're telling the truth about watering the flowers? And this is when Brother Jennings says, because I had the water hose in my hand, I was watering the flowers. Undeterred, Detectives Friday and Gannon continue. And then the Karen, who saw him from apparently the wrong angle, said, oh, yeah, that's Pastor Jennings. Yeah, he's supposed to. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I shouldn't have called. My bad. Hey, Pastor. Hey.
You. See you next Tuesday.
And they arrested him anyway.
Him anyway.
And he's got a lawyer. He's got a lawyer named Harry M. Daniels, who said, "You know, this wasn't just an unlawful arrest. It's kidnapping. It's irrational, irresponsible, and illegal." And so the case went to court back in June,
and
the judge was like, "Yeah, I'm throwing this shit right out."
Of course,
which is the right answer. But another lawyer, Bethany Embry Jones, said, Chief McClelland and the Childersburg Police Department may think all they have to do is drop the charges and this all goes away. This was a crime, not a mistake. I would hope that Childersburg Police Department would understand the difference.
I'm thinking federal charges.
I'm thinking you know, civil rights lawsuit here. Yeah, Brother Jennings.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, civil rights violation.
Yeah, Brother Jennings needs to own him a police department.
Yeah. Hims needs to just the concavity of it all.
Sir, how are we supposed to know that you're watering the flowers? Because I'm standing here with the garden hose watering the flowers.
Watering the flowers, you imbecile. Well, the good news is that he's still alive.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Pilot, that's what you said you needed a good news story. I scoured the internet and I found you a good news story. Cops didn't kill him.
The cops didn't kill him. But like what he felt is like what we feel every day. It's like, even like there's time when what are you doing? My wife says that to me, and I'm like, why do you need to know? Are you my overseer? It is a baked in thing in white people. And this is my wife. This is the person that I said I would love and cherish until death do us part. No comment. But the thing is, even her, I have to check her and say, I don't have to answer to you. Because when you're just chilling and stuff, I don't run up on you and say, what are you doing? It's that thing that white people have that they
don't even realize it.
Y'all
got any flowers?
We do.
Does she water them?
We do.
Ever?
No, actually, no, we have...
You have somebody who comes in and...
No. We have a drip... Shut up. We have a drip irrigation system. Because we, you know, the flowers that I have in our front yard are indigenous to California. So they don't need a lot of water. You know, we're very, very, and we don't have, we pulled up the grass in the front, on the front lawn. And we're very much close to pulling up the lawn in the backyard as well. And just doing, you know, mulch or whatever.
Native.
Because,
wait a minute.
You know,
wait.
Drought.
Wait, a native California dirt garden?
We have indigenous plants. Shut up. See, why you gotta be ugly?
Because I made you giggle.
Why for come you kill my brother?
Don't. To be fair, I give my youngest some shit along those lines too. We'll be FaceTiming and she'll be outside. What are you doing today in New Mexico, honey? Watering the dirt? Shut up, Dad.
You know, this is why we can't have nice things.
Well, you know, and here I sit in Appalachia and the fish are dying in Paint Creek right now because a dude with 3,300 gallons of alkyl dimethylmelamine or whatever just got drunk and flipped his truck and caught fire and spilled it all into the creek.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Go back to the archive, download the beginning of the show, and you'll. Traffic has not been able to move all fucking day. I mean, I'm going to be listening to semis going up the hill all night long tonight from the rerouting, because this shit's apparently so dangerous that, and by the way, I didn't mention at the beginning of the program, it also stinks to high heaven, and because the goddess of irony is a good goddess, I don't even know if Steve from Georgia stands listening tonight, but you know, Steve had the story about the god-awful fish smell from his water he and Ms. Karen's water purification system the other day. And so, lo and behold, it turns out with
this... Why is it smelling... Wait. Why does it have a fish... Isn't water purification system supposed to take out, like, the smell and all that other sort of stuff?
Probably just have to go back to the archive for Tuesday. But the bottom line is, if you don't change your zero water filter like every couple of weeks, algae starts growing in it. And your house starts smelling like fish. But anyway, so we had the story of Steve and Miss Karen and the mysterious aquarium smelling water. 2 days later, some asshole from North Carolina who's drunk flips his semi on I-77, dumps out 3,300 gallons of some sort of chemical cleaning agent that stinks like fish, gets into the creek, and then kills the fish. And the fish weren't lingering or anything. They were just like, floop, up, belly up. Bobbing downstream. He did.
Fish did.
Yeah, that would be your fellow Angelino.
Oh.
That would be your fellow Angelino, Jesse Lee.
he did. Has Jesse Lee talked about his boyfriend? Has there been any?
No.
Jesse Lee's boyfriend.
He's just like Roy Cohn. He's not gay. He just likes to have sex with men.
That's what I did. Okay.
Oh well.
I'm not a racist. Some of my best friends are black.
Shut up.
What? What?
Dude survived. What? Dude got out of the wreck and talked to the cops about it all while his rig was burning and the poison was spilling. And that's when the state police were like, and we detected the sign of a possibility of an odor of alcohol upon the breath of the subject person, individual subject. And they were like, yeah, let's see you walk a straight line. And dude from South Carolina, dude, could not do that. Because somewhere up the road, he had stopped and had a few. While carrying 3,300 gallons of deadly poison.
See, and these are the people, and to see, I drive for a living. And every day I'm on the road, I think about, as I'm driving by the guy with the big rig, if that person has been on speed, or, stuff like that.
Well, and the funny thing on that stretch of road, there are billboards along the way for what is euphemistically referred to.
About that.
Well, in fact, we talked a lot on yesterday's program about using the phrase so-called. There are billboards for a so-called gentleman's club called Southern Exposure. And it is... It is a drinking establishment with naked women in it, and prominently displayed on all of their billboards is truck parking available. And so,
well, because you know that's a big thing, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on in, get off the road, relax, get a lap dance, drink yourself up to .128 and go on down the road with your truckload of deadly chemicals.
With your hazmat shit. This is again. See, I, again, do for a living. I am keenly aware. That's another reason. Like Sunday, I think I told you that I picked up a family and I took them to San Diego. And then I worked a little while later after I dropped them off. But here's the deal. I can work as long as I want to work. But there comes a point when people are just driving like idiots to that point where I saw Jenna, I said, I'm on my way home. She's like, it's only 8 o'clock. I said, I know. But if you're driving like this at 8 o'clock, what the entire fuck are they going to be driving like, in a few hours? Especially after they might have, gotten a little liquored up. So I went home and took my ass home. Because it gets to that point where you just need to go home. Because you're literally being so, I'm basically taking my life. Every time I get in my car, I'm a hell of a driver. And it's like, to attest to that, like when I was talking about that woman that killed those people, 13 accidents? 13! And I've been driving. Okay, I started driving in when I was 13 years old. So I just turned 56. So I have been driving a total of 43 years, 15 of which were driving a cab. And sum total, in the 43 years that I have been driving, I have had 4 accidents, and all of which were not, one was my fault. No, it wasn't. So, 4 accidents, and none of which were my fault. And I drive for a living. 15 years of those, like I said, 15 years of those 43 were me actually driving for a living. And I somehow managed not to have 13 accidents, Robin.
Somehow. So, well, again, I've been looking up our buddy, our boy, Dennis Eugene West of Monk's Corner, South Carolina. Need a little geography help from the South Carolina contingent on this one. He's 50. He's 54. What'd you say?
You said the South Carolina contingent. I said hi, Todd.
Oh, hi, Todd. Yeah. Hi, Clarence. And I'm learning about what totes are. They're these big plastic containers with like metal cages around them, and they apparently don't stand up very well to roll over tractor trailer accidents. And of course, based on the history that, you know, well, here's something that doesn't fill one with a sense of confidence. The West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection is on site and handling remediation. Yeah, they're gonna put it. They'll probably put it all in a truck and take it up and dump it in a coal sludge impoundment. Tell me I'm wrong. Wait. Tell me I am wrong.
No, because that's when you said that it happened in your neck of the woods, and I'm thinking this is a state that does not care anything about environmental protections. So God help you for as you said, the so-called remediation or cleanup.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Good. Hold on. Good job. Great use of so-called remediation there.
Thank you.
Yeah, 12 totes carrying 275 gallons per tote. And the press release says the material is very odorous. And it's an amines odor for the chemistry people out there. Hi, Paul from Parts Unknown. An amines odor being noted by the hillbillies as being smells like fish, but the thing is, with all the dead fish, and you know that's how we say fish, with all the dead fish, it's kind of hard to tell the smell of the dead fish from the amines that smells like dead fish.
Yeah,
press release is the press release is very sedate, very, you know, let's not panic. There is an impact to aquatic life in Paint Creek. That translates to hillbilly as, ain't nothing going to be alive in that creek for a while now. They done got it all.
At least for a decade.
And as a precaution, folks who live in the area should avoid contact with Paint Creek water until the materials are diluted.
And where do you get your water from?
Not Paint Creek. But until the materials are diluted, that's diluted. But if you think the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection is going to do dick about it, you are diluted, DELUDED.
DELUDED, yeah. That part. Speaking of environmental protection, some more little happy news. They're voting into law, state of California, that after 2035, you can no longer buy a new gas.
I saw that and I was like, is this real? Is this real?
It's real. It's real. You could buy a used gas-powered vehicle, but you will no longer be able to buy a brand new gas-powered vehicle in the state of California after 2035. Robert, that's not that long from now.
No, that's
13 years.
Yeah, it's 13 years. That's 6 years after the we're fucked date for climate change, 2029.
Yeah, it is. I mean, 2029, but still.
No, it's.
I'll take it.
Trying to do something, sure. I'm not gonna. Again, I'm gonna follow my. I'm not gonna let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Right. So that means you could buy. So you can buy the only car that you could buy new. That's gas powered. It's a plug-in hybrid.
So okay.
It's either a plug-in hybrid.
So there's a loophole.
What? There's a loophole, but still.
No,
plug-in
that's
hybrid. So it's either going to be electric. Hey, that's something. So it's either going to be electric. Hydrogen-powered plug-in hybrid.
Yeah, the hydrogen-powered part, that always gives me the creeps because I know how the Hindenburg blew up.
And, of course, I have a friend that's all pleases. I got a hydrogen-powered car. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, park that at the other end of the block, hon.
Yeah, they'll come see me.
You don't smoke, do you?
Drive your husband's car when you come over. Right. But still, just the fact. And I don't care how much my governor keeps saying that he has no intention of running for president possibly in 2028. Well, I think he would probably be turned out by then. I'm not sure. But he will not leave Ron DeSantis alone. I forget what he did this time.
Well,
but.
You know, and when you said that, I immediately thought of, you know, the meme from years ago. Leave Ron DeSantis alone. Remember, leave Brittany alone?
Yeah.
Leave Monkey Up alone.
Leave Monkey Up alone. And then, now from Florida to Texas. Because, like I said, a lot of this stuff was going on while Janet and I were on vacation. So, asshole Abbott is sending his homeless people and all that to New York?
Busloads of them. Busloads.
Where is he sending them to?
To New York.
Uh-huh. To New York.
And New York is saying, well, okay, we'll do our best. Because we're not filled with hate like Texas is. Oh, by the way. Thank you to our pal, Texas T. Texas T answered Ralph's call earlier, and so we are down to 1560 in the fundraising hole, y'all. So that's good. Thank you. Thank you, Texas T.
That's awesome. Yeah, your girl is kind of tapped out for a minute. And I know you're going to say, but you do already do some. I'm like, yeah, but... That my tuition payment is due on Friday, and it's actually due Sunday, but I'm going to pay it on Friday because you know,
yeah,
that part.
Well, so, we're, you know, look, the world is what the world is right now, and we're sweating. Lord Jesus, we're sweating some bills, but we're still here. You know, if the family community congregation had
right.
not responded. The way that it did, wouldn't be here right now. This program would not exist right now.
And I thank you guys, you know, and y'all know that I give as much as I can when I can.
You do.
But I really, and I just want, you know, we can't, there's nowhere else ever in in radio, the internet, wherever that we have, that we can call in and have the kind of conversation that we have with Robin. On top of the fact, she takes one for the team every single fucking day by watching the stuff that, I can't stomach the stuff that she watches and reads, so she can, you know, discern it to us and disseminate it to us and all that. So, again, for those of you who have no qualms about giving money to people who do not need the money, and I know we're all overwhelmed with the elections and, you know, trying to keep people like, you know, Senator Warnock and, you know, as a senator in Texas, I mean, I'm sorry, from Georgia and all the other midterm races that are going on, that is basically fighting for, you know, if we lose the House and the Senate, I don't want to even go there about, you know, the state of this country. But even with that said, even if God help us, that happens, then we really need somebody like Robin to help us get, you know, get through what would be dark days ahead. So, you know, if you just not do have a latte or two, one, two, couple of days a week, that's about $10. You know, if you could do that.
Well, I mean, yeah, one hat.
You know, just so it,
yeah, that day that I priced a pack, you know, just a pack of Wrigley's chewing gum, your choice, double mint, wintergreen, big red, juicy fruit.
Juicy fruit.
Less than half a stick per day is a $10 a month subscription. So,
okay.
If you're going through a half a stick of Wrigley's gum per day, 10 days worth of chewing gum.
Right.
That's a subscription. That's $10 a month in subscription.
And I am proud to say after all these years, I am now, did it come out this month or is it going to come out next month?
No, it came out this month.
The 21st, right? So it is official. I'm a subscriber too. So, and even like right now, because, you know, the vacation, not even the vacation, but just, the, you know, yet another tire, and then last month, my fuel system, and all the things that have happened. But regardless of all the things that all the money that I have laid out, just in the last month, God damn it, if I think about it, I want to start, okay, never mind, because again, I have it, but right now, I have it, but I don't. But at least I know I got $10 a month. So whether or not I do, as Robin calls it, the a la carte subscription, I mean, you know, gifts, which I will be back up doing probably in October once I get a chance to resettle myself. But still, and again, I'm not going to say, well, $10 a month ain't nothing, but let me just... I had years, and I think I've told this story, years ago I had some subscription. I don't even remember who it was, whatever it was. It was $5 a month. And this is before you could, you know, really just go online and cancel shit, which is still a nightmare if anybody has ever tried to cancel a subscription. It's getting better, but still. But anyway, so I called the company to cancel said subscription. And this is when, you know, Alex and I were struggling, okay? I mean, my gas got turned off. Thank God I live in California, because I didn't have $50 to pay my gas bill, not knowing at the time that as long as I paid something on it every month, it wouldn't have gotten turned off. But they don't share that information with you, right? They make it seem like if you don't pay the bill in full, you know, it's on you. But I didn't even have the 50. And if you know anything about Southern California, you know, this is L.A. So it's not like I was in an apartment and, you know, we used, you know, gas stove and, my heater was gas. But then again, on average, my gas bill might have been like $8 or $10 a month at the time. But I didn't even really have, so it had gotten up to like $50 or whatever it was. And, it, you know, and my gas got disconnected. Because I didn't have $50 to pay it. So when that man said, well, it's only $5 a month, I said, buddy, you don't know what you know what I could do with $5? I can go to the store, get some beans, some rice, and some cornmeal. And at the time, I could still get some oil and some milk and some eggs or what have you. But even without the oil, the milk, and the eggs, I could make hot, as long as I had cornmeal and hot water and some oil, I could make some hot water cornbread. I didn't even need the eggs. I said, my son and I could eat off of that for almost a week. So don't just come and tell me what that is only $5 a month because you do not know my situation. So with that said, I'm not saying, you know, for those who $10 a month is a stretch, but I know there's plenty of motherfuckers out there, and I've said it, that $10 a month is not an issue at all. And if those people just do that, you know, fix it up, you know, set it up and forget it. You go online, you if you hit that contribute button, because, you know, it took me a minute. Because when I first tried to do it, I just did it, you know, doing the regular PayPal, you know, when I send a contribution. I didn't realize until you explained it to me, okay, Tracy. Yeah, I had to actually go on through, you know, because I've never donated directly through the Warhorn website. I would just go directly to PayPal. So I didn't realize that in order to subscribe, I actually had to go through the to PayPal through the link on your website. And then it was after that, it, like you said, when I made the donation, it says make monthly, and I clicked the little box. And now $10 a month goes to my girl, Robin. And I have to think about it. And if I want to give more, I will, and I do. But just the fact that I know that every single month until I decide not to turn it off, but hopefully maybe one day contribute more monthly, my girl, Robin, is at least going to get $120 a year from me. And that's just me. So, seriously, Robin, if you had how many $10 a month subscribers would you need through either Patreon or PayPal? Would you need just to cover the basis?
Well, a long time ago, the goal was 400, and so
400.
Subscribers.
400 contributors or 400 subscribers?
Subscribers.
Okay.
When we went to try to have fund things like health insurance, that went up a little bit. Basically, the subscription base right now is about maybe 4 days a month. It covers about 4 days.
40. So how many subscribers do you have at the moment?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Because I
do the thank yous to the subscribers every day. Today there are, I think,
right.
Two, maybe three. And I do Patreon.
What's today's date?
Today's the 25th.
On the 3rd. Okay.
And... You know,
Wait a minute. So you need, go ahead.
No, I was Patreon. Patreon comes out to about a day and a half, and PayPal makes up about maybe 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
And
so
the rest is a la carte.
To be conservative, you said about $400 a month. 400 subscribers a month. So that basically comes up to 13 subscribers a day.
I'll trust you for the ciphering on the fly.
Yeah, 13, because I'm just going to do straight up 30 days. I'm not going to do 31, I'm going to do straight up 30 days. So, yeah, 30 times 13 is $390. So, like I said, you know, let's just say 1350. So, 13, so let's just say 14 subscribers. And that would definitely put us at the $400 subscriber number. So if we could hit, okay, let's talk it. Just stay with 10, because I could do 10 better than I could do 14. But if we could get 10 people for every day of the month, just to commit to that $10 a month, that would cover. You know, that would take so much pressure off of my girl. And so, like, I'm on the 21st because, again, the 21st is something. I was born on July 21st. Jen and I were, you know, we have two anniversaries. So June 21st, and, you know, June 21st and December 21st. So, you know, I'm not going to forget the 21st, okay? So that's why I chose the 21st.
Okay.
So, okay. So, if you can start looking at, so at this point, you know, like you said, you thank all the subscribers that subscribe to that day. So we need people, pick a day. Pick, is it whatever month, whatever day of the month your anniversary was, is, or your birthday, or the first time you kissed a boy, or the first time you kissed the girl. Or there's always, somebody has always has a number between 1 and 31 that is significant to them. And personally, I was just really, you know, I would just, you know, just, like I said, I just did the 30 days. So we get somebody, you know, how many months of the year have 31 days? Somebody did the whole ride for me, Bernadette did the ride for me.
30 days have September, whatever. April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, say February, which is all fucked up.
Right, because the shortest month of the year is Black History Month, so that part. But just say, everybody, you know, for those months that have 31, and for the months that just have 30, and then the month. So the only people that are going to get hit. Now, I have a question for those months. Like, say you got the contributors that their contribution is on the 31st. Do they still get money still come out of their account?
Hold up. That's where things get weird. The 28th, if you sign up as a subscriber on the 29th, 30th, or 31st, it will probably in the next year default back to the 28th, or else it'll just end because of the calendar.
Right.
It's just weird.
It's just weird that way. So then, go ahead.
No, so basically we calculate on 28, you know, we calculate on a 28-day month. But anyway, we are at the end of the broadcast.
Okay, you're at the end of the show. Oh, my God, we've been talking all this time. Robin, we've been talking for 2 hours.
Not quite.
Holy shit.
Look at the ground we covered.
I'm telling you. And I hope that somebody listens, you know, whoever's listening, you know, really, really consider becoming a subscriber. Well, and make sure it's on the 28th.
And remember,
from the 1st to the 28th.
Zed and I. Well, and if you do Patreon, it all just comes out on the 1st anyway. But Zed and I,
you do Patreon
every month for the past several months. Zed in Iowa has doubled any subscribers who have any $10 a month subscribers who come in up to 5. He's doubled their first month subscription, and that's on the table this month too. So, that's nice.
So, that's nice. So, you know, come on, you guys. Please, help a sister out. And by sister, I mean my sister Robin, not sister. It's a difference.
Oh, damn, you took away my sister card. Does that mean I've been disinvited? to the cookout.
You haven't been disinvited, but no, it's just what, like I said, there's a difference
I absolutely get it.
You know, so that's why I'm like, help a sister, because I always say help a sister out. But then I'm like, wait a minute, just in case nobody knows that you're a white woman.
Who could ever possibly know that?
Help a sister out, please. Who is, like, if they never heard, if they just tuned in today and they never knew who you were, they just heard about this amazing talk radio, internet radio talk show hostess. That part. I know, it's a stretch. Shut up.
I'm just sitting here looking. I got some vaguely sister freckles. I mean, you know.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just and
even you said if you ever did a DNA test, it would just be white.
I know. And believe me, this is not the Rachel Dolezal portion of the program.
Please God, no.
Tracy, you have a good night, dear.
But you will. You too, my love. Be well.
I will. We'll talk soon, okay? Bye.
Yes, we will. Bye.
Oh, what fun. What fun. And so thanks, Texas T, for jumping in, and thanks for the challenge, Ralphs. Ralphs added an extra $5, so that's actually 15... 1555. So tomorrow's 1855. So thank you. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers, about whom we talked at length there for a little bit. Yeah, I know. Lee in New York says, "Who would know that Robin is whiter than mayonnaise?" Pink, damn it, pink. But. No, thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky earlier this evening. I didn't see if Steve made it in, but you were thought of. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way. 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Nobody has more experience dealing with the ineptitude of the West Virginia Department of Environmental Permitting, pollution, protection. Yeah, it just doesn't come out real easy. That's why I said it doesn't fill one with confidence to know that they're on the job on that humongous spill. And now a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Live. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, somebody comes towards you down the street whispering about the progressives, avoid that maggot like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.